The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Welcome back. Oh, as we usually do on Fridays, we change everything a little bit and we discuss it was our country, our culture. And now we're looking into the various sectors in our country as we focus on a lot of the things taking place. And we've been focusing on the fashion industry. We were supposed to have a panel last week. That didn't happen because of the challenges. We continue that discussion this morning as we try to learn more about the sector and how persons can get involved and find out from the persons who are involved what's taking place. So this morning we have joining us in studio, he has his own clothing brand that's done worldwide. Let's welcome to our program, Coyle Herbert. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Nice to have you with us here this morning. And joining us on the phone for a bit, that is a designer, musician, Jonathan Hines. Good morning to you as well.
Morning.
Nice to have both of you here with us this morning. We're discussing a sector that that we know that's around,
but
we don't necessarily understand, or we don't get enough information as to how vibrant it is, how large the sector is, and all of these various things. Let me begin by allowing both of you the opportunity to familiarize the listener with exactly who you are and some of the things that you're involved in. Let's start with you, Coyle.
My name is Coyle Herbert. I'm the founder and the creative director of a brand called Done Worldwide. It's based in Trinidad and Tobago. And we've been operating, I would say, since late 2018, but I'm only now getting serious because I just recently graduated UE, so now I'm focusing on it full-time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and let's hear from you, Jonathan. Tell us a bit about yourself.
My name is Jonathan Hines. My artist name is Rose Gold Bentley. I've been involved in the fashion industry here with my brand White Roses since like around the same time, 2018. But I have been mentoring under a designer here, Levi Marcus, for the past like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been doing, just learning the business from somebody that's been in it a little longer than me.
Okay. So let's find out exactly what you gentlemen do. So it's nice to say, all right, I have a business line, a clothing line and this and that, but what does that really mean? So do you manufacture? How does it work? Let's start with Coyle. Tell us.
Okay, so it depends. Manufacturing could be a complicated process. The problem in Trinidad and Tobago for me is just ease of business. So I have a list of wholesalers that I work with locally. So I print a variety of, let me say, hoodies, shorts, tees, hats, and I have a wholesaler company locally that I deal with, and I do a majority of my business with. I also work with a few printeries locally, depending on my needs, and I source most of my stuff locally. If it is more in the fashions, and we call it cut and sew, so it is directly according to my specifications with regards to the sizing, I would go factory overseas, so that would be through China, essentially. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easier to do things locally just because of how quick the turnover time is, essentially.
Well, what exactly do you do? Do you manufacture garments? Do you have a specific line of so, garments to you? What's going on?
Yeah, so essentially I design the clothes myself, so I design it via Photoshop and a program called Illustrator, and I convert those designs onto the blanks themselves, so the blanks being the tees, the hoodies, and I sell it to the public generally.
Okay.
Yeah,
Jonathan, tell us about your business.
Well, we kind of in the same business. Corey is somebody that is in my same age bracket. I kind of, you know, we both have access to the same kind of stuff locally. My brand is also based on where I would design at home, and then I would carry it to the design to the printer or the manufacturer and get them made. If I was to explain it more, it would be a graphic-based designs, but more like freedom of expression when it comes to, I use the t-shirts like a blank canvas to kind of express certain situations I might have been dealing with, or kind of like topic social commentary that I feel is necessary at the time.
Mm. So basically, to simplify to the listeners, you all take clothes and you put these designs on them.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the designs obviously would have the brand, like the Dawn brand and the other brand, but underneath that would have other things.
Correct.
Other embellishments, yeah, and so on, and that's basically what you're selling. Who are you selling to, Koya?
Well, can I elaborate on that?
Sure.
Yeah, so essentially, it may look like that on the surface, yes. So on the surface is prints and embellishments, only branding. But what I am trying to do with my quote-unquote brand is not necessarily sell clothes, is an ideology and a feeling that comes with the clothes. And that is what encourages, I would say, my base to want to represent the brand. Because I think anybody could print a logo on a t-shirt. What makes you want to wear this t-shirt, essentially? And it's essentially the message behind the branding through the marketing and the storytelling through the marketing is what differentiates, I would say, my brand from... Oh, that's what I think branding is, essentially. So it's not necessarily only the printing that makes the brand, or that is what we're selling. We're selling an ideology or feeling behind the brand, and it makes people want to be a part of it. It's like a community, essentially. Mm. That makes a little more sense. Yeah.
Jonathan, you want to add anything to this element of
that? Firstly, that was well said by Koya. Because it could be to the regular person just a print on a t-shirt, but when you wear clothing, that's the first form of not identification, but the first form of expression that somebody that doesn't know you gets to see and place, I guess, a judgment or opinion on you. You know, we every day we go by and we kind of subconsciously look at people and how they dress and form an opinion before even meeting them. And so through that, with our brands, we get to not only bring people into our community for them to feel like part of something, mm-hmm, and feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves more so, but it's also, if you believe in the same concepts and the same, like if you're like-minded thinkers like us, you could feel a sense of appreciation for the art more so than just the item, and then feel like a sense of belonging through wearing this. You know, so it kind of goes like he said, a little deeper than the surface,
yeah,
in bringing people into wanting to purchase.
Okay. The clothing industry, the fashion industry is massive,
yeah,
on an international scale. And we now operate in an environment where people can sit anywhere in the world and they can order something from you. Do you all have virtual stores? Do you have physical stores? How is the business conducted?
Well, for me, I have a website. So I operate, well, a lot of my customers order via the website. They also order via WhatsApp and Instagram. So what they would do is, there's a catalog on my different social media pages and on the website itself. And if they choose the website route, they will check out via the website.
Mm.
A lot of people locally don't have access to credit cards and whatnot. So if they desire to check out via, let me say, WhatsApp or Instagram, that process is usually via DM or message, and we'd arrange the suit and we'd either do via Titi Post or in person or something along those lines.
Okay. Yeah, Jonathan, same experience with you?
Yeah, so I've been, like I said, doing a mentorship with Levi Marcus. That's another brand here. He does a lot of work with, spirit masks, and this, he attempted his first carnival costume this year. So I've been in the business side from him right now, so I'm doing a lot of background work with my brand. But it's pretty much the same process. Right now I'm trying to get more involved in understanding the background side of it, so again, I have to get my stuff in stores and just not necessarily rebranding, but reshaping the way that I approach putting it out. So right now, I would say that I'm in more in like a work in progress
state.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
What kind of volume are you all achieving at this point in time when it comes to traffic and it comes to actual sales?
For me right now, I don't necessarily like talking about figures. I would say there's been an exponential increase. Solely because I didn't say, to answer the last question as well, I'm also working with a store right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay if I call the store name?
Right, sure.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So Fellas Fittings in Arima, so I'm working with them right now. So we have an arrangement where they buy in bulk, and a lot of customers in the Arima district, they tend to buy from there. Via the website, we're doing pretty well. Surprisingly, we have a lot of international customers. The only issue with the international customers is usually shipping and payment. Unfortunately, in Trinidad and Tobago, it's very limited. There's a limited amount of ways you can conduct transactions with people from foreign, essentially.
Right.
And they are international customers tend to be very picky with regards to some of the payment processors and whatnot that they utilize because of obvious things like fraud. And so that's a little tricky to navigate. But yeah, pushing some decent numbers right now. I can't complain, thanks to God. So yeah, mm-hmm. The volume is pretty good.
Jonathan, your experience? Have you gotten to that stage yet?
No, I haven't gotten to that stage yet. I've been working more on the building side of stuff, trying to learn a little more here. Mm-hmm. So that when I do, you know, attack the industry, it's from a like a understanding that I'm comfortable with.
The fashion industry has been identified as one of the sectors that we as a nation are going to place a lot of focus on for diversification.
Yeah.
And we've seen numerous initiatives under the People's Partnership. I think it was, they had a color for it. Some sector was the, I can't remember, offhand. And now we have concerted efforts to promote and to give assistance. Is enough being done for persons who are already in the industry and persons who want to get into the industry when it comes to support and financing? Is there enough, or is there need for more?
What I would say is, if there is, I think it isn't widely known. So the news that you break into me is news to me, essentially. I didn't know about those foundations. Or mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not familiar with it. So I would say from my experience, no, not enough is being done. I don't think a lot of people even understand how to go about running a business in the fashion industry and make it profitable. I get tons of DMs as well via Instagram or WhatsApp. I get tons of messages yesterday, last night self, asking how to start, where do I even start, or how to go about doing this, where do I get funding, where do I get manufacturers, how do I even build a portfolio big enough for people to care about it? How do I brand myself? So I would say there isn't enough being done, because I feel like if there was enough being done, the average folk who wants to get into this industry would have the information that they need to make it happen.
It's interesting you say that, because just recently we had a campaign with Netco. And Netco actually works hand in hand with a state entity that is... its core focus is fashion. And they work hand in hand, because they, according to the individual that I spoke to, there are a lot of persons who want to get involved in the fashion industry.
Yeah.
But some of them are already on a minute scale and need to ramp up their business, the needs. And they say that this partnership between Netco and this entity, which the name I can't remember offhand, it was put together for this very same reason. So the person's asking for assistance or information, maybe Netco is a good place to start, because when I spoke to them, they said that their core function is not just financing, but guidance.
Yeah.
And exposing and making the connections that need to be made, so that if you do get the financing, you don't just end up with a set of material in your hand and you have nobody to sell it to.
Yes.
And you don't know how to go about it. They work hand in hand in promoting that. It's good information to know for persons who want to go along that line. But where do you see, and I'll get a response from both of you on this, because I want to know, what are your limits? Do you have limits? Where do you see your brand and your business going?
Okay, I like that question. I don't have limits on myself. I've been strategically aligning myself with specific... I would say ideologies and specific aesthetics for a while now that appeals to, I think, an international audience. Not to bash local culture and anything like that, because it has its place, but I do think when we think of fashion locally, we automatically think of carnival, and we center a lot of our fashion around bright, vibrant colors and displaying island life, and there's nothing wrong with that, because that's who we are, that's our identity. But I also understand, I understand just because of how I consume media, what the international market wants, and my job as a creative and as a businessman is, I guess, to kind of create a fusion of both of them. So I see my brand in the next few years being international. I would say it's arguably already international, not nowhere close to the scale that I would like it to be, but a household name, let me say Europe and the United States, even Latin America, because a lot of my inspiration is from a lot of the European designers and American designers. I would describe it as a fusion of streetwear and luxury, and that appeals to those markets a lot more. And it is becoming a lot more popular in Trinidad and Tobago. So obviously and definitely a household name in the Caribbean as well.
Well, the great things about dreams mm-hmm. is that there are no limits. The limits on dreams are basically what you place on them.
Correct.
And once people get that perspective in their mind, creatives like yourself who have the nuts and bolts being put together, the international market is at your fingertips.
Yeah.
We have gone to a stage now where you could sit down in the comfort of your home and purchase something somewhere else outside, and your business is now on a global stage, which provides a lot of opportunity. And when it comes to the branding that we spoke of a little earlier on, I understand that clearly. I look at a lot of these food vloggers from across the world. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed is that they started off doing the food videos, and they've realized now that merchandising is where the real money is.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, you get your money from your views. You have 10 million subscribers and you have so many other views or whatever. You get money from that. But and there was a pointed interview with one of the individuals. He now has 10 million subscribers or more, something like that. And he says when he puts out a product, in the space of a week or two, 2-3 million items are sold.
Yeah.
And that's just on one item. And for the year, he would bring out a number of items.
Yeah.
And that's where the real money goes. So the branding is important.
Yeah.
And getting people to believe in your brand and to buy into the brand is important. That takes a lot of work. And with social media today, I wouldn't necessarily say that it's easier, but the possibilities are there. Jonathan, question to you. I know that you're in I don't want to say the infant stage yet, but you're working to put the nuts and bolts together to get everything right.
Yeah.
Where would you like to see your business?
I don't believe in certain, like having a perfect vision of where I see it, because I know, like, in real life, things don't always go to plan, you know? But I like to think of myself as, like, an adaptive human being where I could trend map and see things before they happen. So I want to integrate my brand in a way to be more of like a hub for information when it comes to that realm and share information, because I wanted to go back a little bit to the first question you had asked and say that one of the issues to me locally is the outreach, because there might be the existence of the information, but the accessibility to it has been a little restricted, you know, for the average person. But just now, just I want to get back on that there. So let's get back on topic here. I don't have a set goal, but just like Corey, I also base my ideologies on a worldwide like scope. So I've been trying to get the baseline of what the mission, I guess, of White Roses is, and then we just try to outreach and see as much people as we could, not assist, but spread the idea of expression through fashion to them.
Mm. We need to take a couple of messages to take us up to the top. When we get back on the other side, I'll ask both of you why.
Yeah.
Why did you get involved in this industry? And what are some of the lessons that you've learned? And what are some of the messages you can send to persons who are like-minded? Those discussions we'll have on the other side of 8 News. A couple messages. Stay with us.
This is the Morning Rumble with Satish Mahabir.
3.5 minutes after 8. It's the final hour of our show. With us still, we do have our special guest. We're speaking about the fashion industry in Trinidad and Tobago, the role youths play in the future of fashion. Our special guest, Coyle Herbert, and also Jonathan Hines. Well, gentlemen, before we went to the news, I was saying that I want to take the discussion on a more personal level. Because therein would have some sort of message, some sort of inspiration that person's listening in can use. Mm-hmm. And the question to start off in this direction is, what prompted you all, both of you, to get involved in fashion? Let's start with you, Coyle.
That's an interesting question. I don't think I have a traditional answer, if that makes any sense. I would say I always liked clothes. I've always been one to dress up all the time. Much to the dismay of some of my friends, they want to know, Coyle, are we going right here? Why are you pulling so much? Why are you taking so long to get ready? So I've always been someone to dress up. The way in which I got into it was very, I would say, kind of unorthodox, in the sense of I was on my gap year, I think late 2017, early 2018, and I was doing a lot of reading, a lot of self-help books and whatever, and I was in the habit of writing down just ideas that came to me. And I remember very vividly, I was washing my car, and it came to me all at once. The name came to me, the logo came to me, so I just had to stop what I was doing and write it down. And from then on there, I said, I'm going to do this and see how far it takes me. And that was how I got into it. It wasn't necessarily because I always dreamt of being in the fashion industry. In all honesty, I was more, I had a more love for sports. It was just a decision I made, and I said, yeah, I'm going to stick to this. And here I am.
Yeah, sometimes your calling comes from the strangest of places.
Yeah.
And Jonathan, your experience, why fashion?
So I come from Tangi Grandi, and growing up, I always looked at a lot of the people around me and how they dress. And in my family situation, I couldn't always get the items that I wanted or I was interested in. And I remember it was in either Form 3 or Form 4, I was going through the ropes of figuring out what I want to do after school. And nothing academically, further in academics was really catching my eye. So I was online just searching for inspo and a direction for my life, I guess. And somebody I was in conversation with, and they asked me randomly, what color are roses? And I was red. And then they were look at this white one that happy and this purple one that happy. And I was that's crazy that I always felt a black sheep in a sense, or within the family realm, because a lot of my family are lawyers and doctors and that kind of stuff. But I was I need a way to express myself that feels genuine to me. And like I said about the t-shirts earlier, being a blank canvas and being the first form of expression, I wanted to express myself through my clothes so I could tell people how I feel off the bat. And I remember just being there and thinking, if I was to ask 9 out of 10 people what color it was, they would say red. And I wanted to be the voice of that one person that would say white or purple or whatever other color it was, to represent that group of people that always have ideas and are willingness to go out and achieve something, but don't always have the backing and support from even the people closest to them to pursue it. So that's where I get the white roses from.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you this. If your business take off and you start to make real money, from the perspective, it change for sure. I could tell you that. I was doing a bit of a research on online businesses because they fascinate me as to how the world has changed and how someone who has absolutely nothing can start a business. And interestingly, one of the videos that I came across dealt with clothing. And they identified the various sites that you can go to, and you don't even have to own anything. You can set up shop, you can provide a piece of clothing, you can provide a personalized print on that, and you can sell it without ever seeing the product. That is how well established some of these online businesses are, and the tutorial explained it in great detail. You don't have to stock. Somebody will provide the t-shirt, they'll provide the print, they will provide the shipping and handling, and somebody else will make sure that your money reaches your account. And you sitting in the comfort of your home, and this thing is passive income, because all people have to do, they do it themselves. You set up the website, they go onto the website, they pick which t-shirt, they pick which design, and all of that kind of thing, and you just forward it to the relevant people, and you're getting your job done. Have you also considered that kind of approach, or you want this hands-on involvement in what's going on?
So that approach, so that's the drop shipping method.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Yes,
it
that's
is.
The drop shipping method. It's a lot easier to do internationally. Unfortunately, in Trinidad and Tobago, because of like, so I can give you my personal
sure.
experience.
Mm-hmm.
So usually with drop shipping, what people tend to do is they tend to open our website or online store, obviously. And you do that, they will do that through something called Shopify. Shopify is usually the online store that people tend to use. In Trinidad, you can't process payments from international orders natively through Shopify, because we don't support a payment processor called Stripe. And it's also very difficult to utilize PayPal locally.
That is so true. Well,
it
I mean, we try to say that, you know, we advance on this and that, but when you speak to persons who are involved in these new age methodologies, you realize that, you know, Israel is a banana republic, you know.
Yeah, so unlike apps like Cash App and stuff like that, make apps like that very easy to use. But we have a lot of walls that block us from utilizing those sorts of stuff. But for me personally, I wouldn't necessarily do the drop shipping route, specifically because of this, a certain level of quality that I want to ensure that my customers are, my products have and my customers get to use. And with drop shipping, sometimes obviously when you're doing with large numbers and volume, if you don't get to necessarily see it for yourself,
you're
quality,
sure.
Yeah,
right.
You know, and that's just specifically for me, but that is definitely a route people can take, but it's just a little bit more complicated to use locally.
Yeah. Jonathan, your ideas on this?
I think it is easier, but I think it's also not as personal to the person. Especially if you're now starting off and trying to get involved, because even though I have been inactive when it comes to producing stuff, I have been doing things within the realm through the name of White Roses and so getting people familiar with that idea, so that when it is in the public like forefront, it's not something unfamiliar to them. So it's also easy to become part of trends and use that as a way to advance the like process of people knowing. But I feel like when you have a hands-on take, which is stuff like Coyle and I have done with getting people in a more community-based setting, it is branch off into longevity, because there are a lot of brands that would have started around the same time when we started, and they're not around anymore, because it's harder to keep up with trends. Because you're not leading anything in that sense, you're more following and waiting for somebody else to tell you which direction to go in. When you have this hands-on idea and this system that you're working with, that you've created with the people that you sell to on a personal level, it becomes more of a relationship than a customer, but a customer seller kind of transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like though it would be a faster route, it is less personal and it might risk a smaller lifespan for the brand.
Mm. Yeah, I understand that. I really do. And that brand loyalty is what serves you well moving forward, because there are some people who are so loyal to brands that you can't even suggest to them that they use something else. I really understand that. But there's something else that I wanted to get from both of you. You all have experiences now that you didn't have prior to getting involved in the business. Let's just say that there are people who are like-minded. They're sitting on home and they have an affinity for something and they want to turn their passion into a career, into a business. And let's use fashion as that example. What are some of the pieces of advice you'd give to them, Quill?
No, this is not necessarily related to fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing I think anyone who wants to get into business should try to master the ability to articulate themselves. That makes business a lot easier. That makes conveying ideas to people that you're working with a lot easier. It helps you to understand your thoughts a lot better as well, and understand yourself a lot better. Getting complicated ideas out of your head in a way for people who you're working with to understand, it just makes life extremely easy. So I think that's the first thing people should take into consideration when getting into business, especially as a creative, because as a creative, you see something in your head and sometimes it plays like a movie in your head, and people don't know what you're seeing, you know? They don't know how to make that vision come to life, and you can't operate by yourself completely because, again, no man is an island. So that's the first thing I would say. The second thing I would say is you have to learn to balance creativity and business. I think creatives are a little too creative, and there's nothing wrong with that. Explore your creative side, yes, but you also have to understand the back end side of things in order to scale, because it's all well and good to have these illustrious ideas and whatever, but it doesn't make sense if you can't fund it and no one wants to buy it. You're going to be wasting your time unless you're doing it solely for the passion of it, and there's nothing wrong with that either. But if your goal is to also make money, you have to find a way to scale. What I would tell people is, if you look at any business, let me say let's stick in the fashion industry, essentially. Let's look at a brand most people would know, like the Louis Vuittons and the Gucci's. They have their basic t-shirts that they sell. That's their bread and butter. Their sunglasses, those are the entry-level pieces. That is what makes the brand, that allows them to create the illustrious pieces that people don't necessarily see on the road, if that makes any sense. They have a system whereas they are profitable, but they can also do what they want because, again, it's a balance. And, again, creatives don't take that into consideration enough from my experience.
Jonathan, let's hear from you some of the lessons that you've learned, some of the messages you'd like to send.
Yeah, firstly, as I say, anybody listening, please listen to that Coyle just mentioned. Those are very important points. Also, the perfect time, it might sound very cliche, but it does not exist. A lot of times, even myself, I would spend more time in my head trying to perfect an idea than getting real life or real time feedback from people by putting it out into the world, because you might have something that to you seems crazy if you see it out loud and you say it and it's what everybody been thinking for the longest while, and you don't know the effect that the ideas that you have could have on other people. So kind of believe in yourself more and push yourself extra to take yourself out of your comfort zone to be able to do things when, like, you, I guess, be the iron while it's hot, for lack of a better word, you know. And then good things take time, because I know that sounds like it's contradicting itself, but at the same time, it's like, don't be in fear of waiting, not just your turn, but being patient and building, like I said, going back and learning the back end stuff, understanding the business side, because even if you are well articulated, like, sometimes you would be lacking the business side. And that would be detrimental. Sometimes you would go into something and you're not knowing how deep you're diving into the water. So it's good to take time to dial back and really flush out and understand what exactly you want to offer, but not hold it into where the time pass or even somebody else does it before you, because I believe in collective consciousness as creatives, where we all, because of social media, we all see the same things all the time at this fast pace. So ideas that you would have, somebody in China could have the idea at the exact same second as you, because we're all tapping into the same stuff because of social media and technology. So you want to pounce on your ideas, but you want to flesh your ideas properly before you give them out, because you don't want to, like I said, risk the lacking longevity, because you want to be here for a while. You don't want to be distant memory. You want to be like a Virgil Abloh, where even when you're going, a simple piece of Virgil is like you impacting lives still to that point, because your ideas were understood, you know, and really blurred to the public.
Okay. We do have joining us now a third guest, and that's Jamali Bilal, designer, owner of Happy Company. Good morning to you. Welcome to our program.
Hi, good morning.
Nice to have you with us here this morning. We had a very thorough discussion with our other guests about their involvement in the fashion industry and what they're involved in and how they got to where they are and where they intend to go. Tell us a bit about your brand, owner of the Happy Company.
Okay, so my brand is actually for the fun lovers, the people that you don't see being shown in Trinidad and Tobago often. So, as Coyle would have said, it's for the creatives, the people that actually want to stand out.
Who are these people? Tell me who they are so that people listening could have an idea.
I think it's more so for the minority, the skaters, the rollerbladers, the people who want to go on adventures, the people who want to express themselves differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my eyes, Trinidad has this, I want to say, tunnel vision when it comes to fashion. They don't express themselves. They go with the trends, or they wear the same things over and over, and I wanted to come to disrupt that with my brand.
You're talking about niche market.
Yes.
And speciality clothing.
Yes.
But how vibrant is this market? How can it sustain? How sustaining is this market? Is it large enough?
I think it's sustainable in the long term, because eventually the people that are, well, the niche market, as you said, would be the people that would create longevity in the long run. They are the people that actually set the trends. Because on a grand scale, the larger brands, if you want to use the Louis Vuittons, the Gucci's, the major designers,
mm-hmm.
actually look towards the niche markets to get inspiration. So I wanted to capitalize on that from early.
No, I can understand the earning potential. Mm-hmm. Because royalties, for want of a different term, mm-hmm. When it comes to your brand, your designs and everything else being used mm-hmm. by names like these, it carries with it significant potential for profit.
Mm-hmm.
But explain to me in greater detail what your line is. What makes it applicable to this niche market?
What makes it applicable? It's for the people.
Let me simplify or explain more what I'm trying to get out of you. Mm-hmm. What makes your clothing different from anybody else?
I think what makes my clothing different
mm-hmm.
is that you feel welcomed.
Okay.
There isn't I'll do this to make it just cool. It's not to be cool anymore. It's for you to feel like you belong to something. So if you own a piece from me, you are part of the company. And I always greet them with love to show you that you're here.
Mm-hmm.
You're part of it.
Okay. How long have you been around?
How long have I
been around? How long has your business been established?
It has made 2 years.
2 years?
This year,
yeah. In the 2 years, what kind of volumes have you been able to achieve?
To me, it comes at a surprise, because I started like in the midst of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point there wasn't anything. And then as things started to open up, everybody who would see me, they'd be like, wow, congratulations, you're doing this, and
right.
that's amazing. And it always shocks me, because in my eyes, it's like, I don't know if anybody's seen it. But people always randomly walk up to me and say, you are doing good, keep going. And they would notice the brand and be like, yeah, this is something that should be pushed more.
Yeah. I often find speaking to persons who started business or all those things around COVID,
mm-hmm.
finding their experiences are so interesting, because it was do or die. And mm-hmm. and there were extremes. Is that you did extremely bad, or for some strange reason, you did extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a friend who, just prior to COVID, had decided he wanted to go into the food business
mm-hmm.
and set up everything, bought all the equipment, bought all the stock, which is perishable. You're talking about meat and vegetables and this and that and everything that he could have bought, and lockdown come right after that. And it demoralized him to the point where he didn't know what to do. Was he supposed to keep the equipment and wait to see how long this thing would run, sell out everything else and try something different? He didn't know what to do. And actually the best thing he did was nothing. Mm-hmm. The stock that he could have gotten rid of, he tried his best to dispose of, and he just sat by and he waited to see exactly what's going to happen with this COVID-19 thing and where he could possibly go. And now he has a business that people gravitate to. He's doing very, very well. He just bided his time, but his case is unique when it comes to COVID-19 and the experience. And what you're saying is one that I've heard numerous times. People are often shocked by themselves as to, I didn't expect this thing to do so well or even to get to where we are, given COVID and all those things, what's on the horizon? Where do you see, because I had asked this question to our other guests as well, where do you see yourself going with your brand, your line, your company?
My long-term goals is to create a fashion house that is comparable to Louis Vuitton, Gucci, Hermes within the Caribbean. Those are my long-term goals. Mm-hmm. Those are what, that is actually what I want for Happy Company, to put Trinidad on the map when it comes to fashion alongside with everyone else that is currently doing it. That is where I see myself in the future.
Do you think you have the facilities and support to get there?
I do think so.
Yeah.
Touching back on the on what you said during COVID, I completely understand, because at some point, something I struggle with as a business owner, a creative, it's patience. And I think that's something that I've been working on for the longest while. Understanding when it's just time to, as the older folks would say, give your faith to God and allow it to just be. Being someone that is, I don't want to say fast-paced, but get it done, and having to wait feels like torture. And you have to figure out while you're waiting if this wait is worth it or if it's not worth it. And I think oftentimes people either give up, or there's a saying I say, where you bad mind it. You just get through it.
Yeah. One of the most difficult decisions in life is whether to hold on or to give up. And that is applicable to so many different things. There's a gentleman in our country's landscape. He's described as one of the greatest entrepreneurs that we've ever had. And that is Kama Maraj out of Sasha. He has been able to take a brand that is local, that is now respected across the world. He has been involved, he's won some awards on an international level that I don't think, quite frankly, our citizenry understands and appreciates how big Sasha Cosmetics has become. I think he was opening some stores recently, I can't remember in which part of the world, and he now has some brand ambassadors that are international in level. And I'm assuming that that is the grandeur with which all three of you would like your various initiatives to get. And that's a lot of hard work, and it doesn't happen overnight.
Correct.
Maybe in some people are lucky, you know, you hit a gold mine and whatever else, and it takes place. But having the resolve, having the patience, as you said, is important. Understanding the trends and knowing, well, when to hold up or when to fold is important as well in doing business. And from the three of you all, very young persons, and getting involved in an industry, because none of you have more than 3-4 years under your belt. Mm-hmm. You all are, you're in the big pond with the big fish, and there are people who are well established here at home, internationally, and nobody competes on an individual scale. It's all global now. The world is your marketplace. Mm-hmm. I had asked the other guests as to, you know, why do you think people are going to gravitate towards what you have to offer as opposed to what's there already? And they gave their various experiences. You just gave yours as well. Do you all see the fashion industry as being that viable? I'll get responses from all three of you.
From an economic standpoint. That's a good question. Yes and no. And this is what I mean. I do think it's necessary. I think a lot more needs to be done locally with regards to just, I would say, funding. So for example, you gave, you spoke about NETGO.
Yeah.
Education. So a lot of people, I'm pretty sure, are you familiar with NETGO?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm not sure if Jonathan is familiar with it, but I think a lot of people need to understand the different avenues that they can take to get funding and mentorship, essentially. So they could become more, I would say, a little bit more business oriented, because again, creatives tend to be very, very creative, and not, you need to have structure behind business. So I think there's a lot more mentorship needs to happen with regards to that. I do think we also need to have, the ease of business needs to be a little bit easier to locally. for it to be a little bit more economically viable. Because again, from my personal experience, I've lost out on a lot of potential customers due to the fact that, again, they just can't buy because of location and because we don't have the payment processors to handle the transactions and whatnot. So a lot, and that is out of my hands, really. I can't do anything to really change how payment processors work locally. What I would advise a lot of people to do is, if they have the opportunity to go abroad and set up, I would say, a business in the United States. I don't even think you need to leave. There are websites that you can utilize. None's coming to mind right now, whereas you can register your business in the States. And then when you register your business in the States, you then have access to these payment processors, so you could target your international audience. That route makes a lot more sense to make it more economically viable, because again, just looking at market share, Trinidad and Tobago is very small. We have a population of, I think, 1.3, 1.4 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say the state of New York, I don't know the number. Let me just call a random number, 22 million people. 10% of 22 million compared to 10% of 1.4 million. If you're targeting 10% of a market, that's a big difference, you know? So I would say, again, economics, I would say target outside for scale. And culturally, mm-hmm. for some strange reason, Trinidadians like things that seem foreign. So if you're targeting outside and you have a following outside, the Trinidadians and the locals would follow. That has worked for me. So economically on that, that is what I would say, essentially. Yeah. So it's a kind of yes or no answer.
Jonathan, what's your take on this?
Yeah, I think there is a future, a brighter future in the industry, because, you know, we, like, individually have been here for, like, you know, less than 6 years. There is a lot of hope for me in the youth, and the understanding and the advanced level of thinking that these youths these days have, based on just the era we're living in. I feel like as the younger people come up, I see them becoming more and more aware of things, and more and more aware and less accepting of things that don't make sense, you know. So we're finding by ourselves the information and the access to things needed, so we're a lot more intuitive. And I feel like if that is appreciated and acknowledged by I don't want to always be the guy say the older generation, but if that was appreciated by the current state of the industry, I feel like working together, we could really form something from within that could be something that they look forward to from the outside. So we no longer have to, because even in China, like, we import more than we export, and that just goes to show, like, the mindset that we have based on things that we already own and have here now. Because we have the ideas, we have the people that would have gone out and come back in with the skill sets. But like I said, with information, a lot of it is acquired and retained, not a lot is given out. So I feel like, again, I'd reiterate, the outreach needs to be at the forefront, I guess, on the youths, seeing that they are obviously the future. Once we're able to do that and tap in with the youths and the mind of the youths and understand how they think and feel, then we could come together and really get it going. But outside of that, I think Corey already hit the nail on the head with the technical aspects and difficulties of it, because even within Trinidad, there are some places that you can't use your Lynx card to purchase something. You need a card that's like a Visa card or a MasterCard, and the average human being here doesn't have that or access to that, like, close by. So I think there's a lot of conversations that have to be had, a lot of understanding and just agreeing to disagree on certain things industry-wise and then business-wise, just for certain advancements to be made, which I guess is just a time frame, because I know there are some stuff like WePay and WAM is another, like, beta app that we're working on right now. That's kind of like the Caribbean PayPal. So it's have a bright future. I think we just had to keep our heads down and work and not be too bothered by a lot of the outside sources that will be telling us other stuff, like what we should do or how we should be looking when it comes to how we portray the stuff that we have here. Because I feel like once we proud of what we do, people on the outside will see that. And there are so many people in the world that if two people believe in what you believe in, they have two other friends that believe the same thing, you know. So I think it's a long process, but we are past the start. We just not at the finish line yet.
Yeah. What's your take on it?
Could you repeat the question?
The viability of the fashion industry moving forward. That's something that you have to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Your role, your product, your your offering and what it means in the international community, local community, the viability. Do you think it's there?
I agree with Coyle, and I also agree with Jonathan, to the point where it's coming. It's not there fully. Mm. It's coming because a lot of people actually do not have access to digital payment plans, like apps, and being able to pay online. And I think this is actually way more of a hindrance to not just the fashion community, but most businesses. As the example Coyle gave, where you look internationally, it's easier. While we down here have to actually put 10 times way more effort into it, because there are a lot of customers and a lot of sales that I have lost due to the same facts. And as Jonathan said, there are things that are being developed, but currently it's a 50-50 mark for me.
Location is important, and it's important for more than one reason. Mm-hmm. Sometimes where a brand originates from takes 50% of the work of marketing out of it. Mm-hmm. Anything from Paris.
Correct.
It's already, people aren't willing to buy. They know what you're selling, but because they come from Paris, they're willing to buy. And that's just something that happens over a period of time. Trinidad and Tobago, we have products like that people, once it comes from Trinidad and Tobago, they're willing to consider purchasing. But that takes a long time. And the issues that you're speaking about when it comes to connectivity, when it comes to the payments and all, we've started a discussion on the station about a cashless society, because that's where the rest of the world is. And we need to find ourselves in that direction some way, somehow, if not necessarily 100%, but to a great extent. Mm-hmm. And I gave an example this morning about a food vlogger who uses his market to sell products like clothes and all these. He's selling bandana and all that, and he's selling endless because he has a market of 10 million subscribers. Mm-hmm. And outside of these subscribers, he has people who look at his stuff as well. And he faced the same challenges that you all talking about location and the limitations. He moved his entire operation from the U.S. to the Philippines. He's living in the Philippines now. Mm-hmm. He moved the entire staff, everybody, into the Philippines. And they were doing an interview with him, and he said that the cost to operate in the Philippines, what he would have paid one person when it comes to their salary in the U.S., he's covering most of his operation costs in the Philippines. And it's the same thing, because you're streaming the same video regardless of where it come from. If it come from the U.S., it come from the video, people are still going to see the same thing. And he's just making plenty, plenty more money now. Manufacturing is going to be a big part of all that you do. Branding obviously will take you all forward. Let's ask the, I don't know if I asked this question before, but I'll ask it again as we wrap up our interviews. What makes you all different? When Kama Maharaj was asked, well, he runs now online a mentorship program, and he has a number of people with businesses who are business minded entrepreneurs on that site. And what he does ever so often is he throws out a question. And the question is intended at fostering critical thinking by these entrepreneurs and business people. And one of the questions that he had asked is, well, what need does your business satisfy? Maybe I should ask that one instead. Because in a clothing environment, you could get plenty of these to buy. You could get plenty this, that, the next, the other, and all that kind of thing. What need does your business, in your minds, satisfy? Let's start with Coyle.
So, that's a good question again. It's not one need, in my opinion, from my understanding. And it's not necessarily a need only on a physical level, let me say a tangible level with regards to product. It's also, I could speak about my brand. My brand is based... And it didn't start like this, but it is now based deeply on a philosophy that I believe in very deeply. And I was listening to the conversation before we started the interview you were having with regards to the crime situation and whatnot. It's based off of a philosophy called... it's essentially integration of the shadow. Mm. And essentially that philosophy is... It's a union philosophy. The philosopher's name was Carl Jung. And it's essentially... In simple terms, being a warrior in a garden. And that essentially means you have the ability to be dangerous and you have the ability to be I would say a warrior, but you choose not to, and you have complete self-control, and that puts you in a position to lead. And I think, again, relating to the conversation you were having earlier, I think that's a problem that we don't, that's a problem that our society in general is facing. We have a lot of youths out here who are misguided, who are, I would say, they want to be dangerous, but they don't have self-control, and they don't have, I would say, their motives aren't in the right places, and there's a lack of understanding of themselves. And I feel like this philosophy that is embedded in my branding kind of fulfills that needs, that need in society and for people, because as a man, you want to feel as you have, like you have power, but you also need to have control over that power. So it's not necessarily a physical need that I am satisfying, but it's a philosophy that I think a lot of youth, and especially men, it's not a male oriented brand, but a lot of men identify with on a subconscious level as well. So that's one need that I satisfy. In doing that, I also created a kind of community. I recently had a shoot with some friends, and everybody was just talking about the vibe of the shoot, if that makes any sense, of when we were just going from location to location, and you feel that sense of brotherhood when we were just moving. Everybody was like, it felt almost real, spiritual. It's very interesting to put into it because of the sense of unity that was there. And I feel like experiences like that translate through the branding and through people who see the brand in different places. I talk to some of my customers, and they're like, whenever I wear your clothes, I feel powerful. And male and female. I can't put it into words, really. So there's that need that I think is being satisfied. There's also the, I am very meticulous with the way in which I go about branding myself. I am very big on quality. I've been working with a videographer. I'll plug his name, Toure. He's excellent. I think the quality of stuff that we put in out with regards to content is, I would say from my perspective, second to none locally right now. We have some new stuff coming, so a lot of people enjoy our content, and that kind of separates me from, I think, my competition somewhat. I also think the clothes are good, the excellent quality, the designs are new. And I would say somewhat original. Again, nothing is completely original. You get inspiration from all walks of life. I think that answers the question.
Oh, fisherman with a fish bar, eh? That's the good. But I understand. If you don't believe in it, who else do you expect to believe in it?
Yeah.
Jonathan, your take.
Yeah, quite all the clothes are good. But also, I think I'll speak for myself, and I'll speak for the people in the room as well, because I feel like this is a group of people that believe a lot of the same things. Like he quite said, the youths are very misguided, and there's a sense of, or wants to be heard and seen by a lot of the youth. That's why a lot of them act out. So, like, where I'm from in Sandy Grande, my area, the Northeastern settlement, over time, I didn't realize, like, where I was living because of the bubble that my parents had me in. But you can't stay in that bubble for too long. I remember always being told, you don't want to be a product of your environment. And that was an issue for me, because no matter what I become, I am a product of my environment. It's what product I choose to become. And I feel like with White Roses, that is the mindset that I tackle, and I ask people to tackle as well, because you can be a product of your environment and be a good thing, and be a good fruit from that tree. You know, it can be a good fruit from a dying tree almost sometimes. And just the need to express that to other people and let them know that they're not alone in that situation is very important to me, and what I really move with. Because even that shoot that Claire was speaking of, I was supposed to go on that, because I feel like as youth, we have broken down a lot of barriers when it comes to competition. Like, I don't feel like I am competing with anybody else in this room, you know? These are my peers. These are the people that I would look to say, yo, you find this sad? You find this, you know what I mean? Like, bounce ideas off of and speak with and build community. Because I know I say that a lot, but that's like the cornerstone of moving forward, like having that community base. So what would make me different, that I would like to extend to the other guys here too, is what makes us different is we build a space for people to feel, like Jamali said, welcomed, and part of something bigger than themselves and community, whereas I feel a lot of stuff is more superficial when it comes to other brands, that they're a lot more fast-paced and a lot more cash-grabbing or catch-and-grab, where they will just try to catch your eye here, take your dollar, and then leave you. Whereas we trying to be like, you could come be part of what we are doing. We necessarily not even at the forefront trying to sell you something. We more so trying to show you that you're being seen. I think that's something that, especially, like you said, with the young males here, they lack the sense of being seen. And so when you're not being seen to yourself, you're going to want to do things to be seen. And sometimes without the right guidance, that has come off as the worst case scenarios. So yeah, I think just moving forward with community is what makes me and by extension these guys different.
Jonathan, you said something that's interesting, you know, and the perspective that you have, that you're not necessarily in competition, it can serve you both well and bad. Because there must be sometimes a level of friendly rivalry in order for us to excel. Because if you're in an environment where you're not challenged at all in any, you tend to become complacent. Complacency for entrepreneurs is one of the biggest pitfalls that you can fall into. And you also said something that I heard some time ago, and it's an honorable perspective to think that others don't necessarily need to fail in order for you to succeed. Many people do not have that perspective. There are many people who feel that, well, in order for me to make it, you see everybody else had to do real bad. And when you get into a perspective that suggests that you are not hinging your fortunes on people's misfortunes, you're not stepping in the right direction. When we began, I think, Jamali, we got from you as well, initially what you thought you were doing different from everybody else. So you've already answered that question. And gentlemen, it was interesting speaking to all three of you for many reasons. It gives an insight into how vibrant how much potential this sector really has. Because normally when you think about fashion, you think about the catwalk, and you think about all of these illustrious designers and all these big people all over the place. When there are niches that people can fill, they can create on their own. Because fashion is about style in many instances. For some people, it's about as mundane as it can be, let's just get this over with and move on. But for others who understand how the market operates and what the trends are and what people will gravitate to, it definitely is a step in the right direction. And I'm hoping that the conversation we had with you all and your experiences shared on the radio would inspire somebody somewhere somehow, if they've been thinking about it, to take that step. And this is where we're going to leave. Maybe I'll ask all three of you as we wrap up, tell people where they can get your merchandise. Let's start with you.
Okay, so you can get my stuff on my website, donwillwide.com. You could also message my Instagram, donwillwide at donwillwide. You can also visit Fellas Fittings in Arima if you don't want to purchase online. Fellas Fittings in Arima, they are located at Shops of Arima on Tumpuna Road.
And your contact.
Anyone interested can message the White Roses .co Instagram page. Even though I haven't started officially, I do by order. So if you're interested in anything that you saw, I would have pre-drewed, you could get that. Outside of that, other ways to support me, I mentor under Levi Marcus. He is available in 36 Cornelio and Occasions. Occasions is in Westmore. Outside of those things, I also make music. Artist name Rose Gold Bentley. Could stream that everywhere, and that would be supporting the same mindset. And yeah, that's me.
Yeah, and Jamali.
You can get my merchandise at Happy Company on Instagram. You can DM to purchase.
Okay. Gentlemen, thank all of you for being with us here this morning. Giving us, an insight into who you are, really, because that's what we did. Find out about you and what makes you all tick and how your businesses are set up. We wish you all the best in the future. Thanks again, once again, for being with us here this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we drop the curtains on our interview here this morning. A couple messages. We'll be right back. Stay with us.